Hello and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast, where I'm going to start by saying that we are full of very useful fixed beliefs. Yes, that's right. Fixed beliefs can be good. I can't look at my computer as I talk about this and believe that I am standing at the top of Everest. That wouldn't actually be useful. I can't look into the sky 10 meters above me and believe that I can walk to that place in the middle of the air. Again, that wouldn't be very useful for me. It turns out it's good to be based in reality. However, we have other fixed beliefs that kind of suck. Perhaps the belief that I can't do stand-up comedy or I can't do maths. These aren't actually true. We can improve at any skill if we really want to. If you can read, write, speak, and understand the concept of the numbers 1 to 1,000, you can definitely improve at maths or stand-up comedy. Of course, you might not improve incredibly fast, but you will be able to improve if you prioritize it. And I'll actually add that you probably will improve faster than you expect. Most of the difficult things that we put off are usually easier and less scary than we expect. We just invent worries. There's a brilliant quote about fear. It says that our fears are a mile wide and 1 inch deep. We look over this vast ocean of a task and it looks so big, it's overwhelming, it's unbeatable, and there's just no chance that we could get to the other side. Yet, when we finally step into it, we find that we don't sink. It doesn't eat us up. We just walk over it because it's 1 inch deep. And we'll actually find ourselves being amused at what it was we were so scared about. Like, is this it? Really? Oh man, why did I waste so much time waiting to finally do this? Now, of course, I'm not saying that everything in life is easy, but I am saying that when you choose to do a hard thing, it does nearly always get done. And that means it has to be a priority for us to not let our thoughts of difficulty fool us into assuming that we can't do something, because then we will never do it. And we have to accept that the biggest thing standing in the way of ourselves is ourself. The fight that you need to be fighting is in your mind. So welcome to the episode and today's topic of addictions and fighting the demons within us. I recently did an episode on the concept of dimensions and the flat dimensionality of our thoughts. I gave the example that physically, humans can't escape gravity and we live our lives glued to the surface of the planet. And despite the fact that we are three-dimensional creatures, we actually live in a pretty much tiny two-dimensional film bound forever to the floor. And our entire existence plays out within this little film, despite the fact that there is a third dimension that we just do not use in the slightest. And it is the same thing with our thoughts. We could be thinking all kinds of bonkers ideas, but our minds are very stuck in what we think is real. Our thoughts are pulled into a very singular and flat way of thinking, compared to the diversity of possibilities. I could start reciting the works of Shakespeare in Latvian right now. It is technically possible that it could happen. Instead, I will only consider maybe having a toilet break, eating, procrastinating, or recording my podcast. That's actually what's going to go through my brain. Mostly, we need to be on autopilot. Autopilot helps us not crush ourselves under the weight of trying to decide every possibility. I don't need to compare the 1,000 possible locations I could put my water bottle right now. I just need to put it down. Now, you've probably heard of flow. It is the state of being engulfed by a task and blind to what else you could be doing. One of our big issues is actually our inability to break into flow states. So any help, such as being able to be on autopilot, is a really good thing. However, we really struggle to get into these flow states on difficult tasks because our attention is hijacked. We fear the difficulty that we face, that mile-wide ocean, and it's really stupid. If we could just start, we would actually make progress. And it's not the difficulty of the thing that causes us to sink. In fact, it's our expectation that it will be difficult. And so instead, we find ourselves busily sinking ourselves and then searching for a lifeline. And that's where our attention gets hijacked, because we reach for easier things. And that is our addiction, easier things. So now I've said the word addiction, it's worth asking, what is an addiction? Well, an addiction is something that you practice probably at least daily. You maybe abandon other hobbies to do the addiction. You perhaps hide parts of your addiction from your partner, such as how much it costs. You maybe consider selling or sacrificing things to invest in the addiction, maybe selling a car to buy more crypto, or not being able to afford healthy meals, yet still being able to buy alcohol or cigarettes. When you're addicted, you maybe stop following your own rules, or keep on making new rules which you then break. Another thing is you'll believe you'll make it back, and it could be many things. Perhaps money that you've lost gambling or on crypto, you'll believe you can make back doing the same thing. Perhaps health lost smoking, you'll believe you'll make back when you finally quit. Another common sign of an addiction is you don't think you have a problem, and you think that you can stop if you want to. And yet, of course, when you try to quit, you get pulled back in. Now, diving more into the mind and your thought processes, an addiction is insanely repetitive if you remind yourself of the infinite array of ideas that you could be contemplating. Every day you have or task is bookended by thinking about your addiction. Your tasks might even be broken up by your addiction. Whether you suffer from checking the crypto prices every hour, checking your email, or having a cigarette, it's a constant return to a home state. And if you were to read the transcript of your thoughts, it would just sound like a really crazy obsession. Like, wake up, check phone. Have a coffee, check phone. Go to the toilet, check phone. Start commuting, check phone. Start working. Oh, actually, check phone before you start working. Silly. Finally, start doing some work. Well, check phone again because you're stuck starting your work. And so on and so forth. It's just so obsessive and uninteresting. How embarrassed would you be if someone read the amount of times you thought about any addiction that you have? Porn, drugs, donuts, Instagram. Addictions make your brain so boring. Many alcoholics can't go somewhere or do something without thinking about if they have alcohol on them or when the next drink is. The longer they go without a drink, the louder the noise in their mind distracting them. An addiction is genuinely a burden for your mind. Instead of just having one thing to do to deal with one problem, you have two problems because you have the constant dead weight, that drag of the addiction on all your thought processes. An addiction is the opposite of diverse or liberated thinking. It eats away your time and attention like a greedy virus, just cycling through the same thought pattern again and again on repeat. It's not new. It's not exciting. It's just the same thought again and again and again. If you do something 100 times in a day, it's totally weird, right? The same thought again and again. It's annoying, to say the least. The same thought again and again. And what's up with me doing all this again and again thing? Like the same thought again and again and again. And it keeps happening. Sorry, I'm really sorry. But the same thought again and again and again. And hot dog, someone needs to stop me from doing this. The same thought again and again and again. And, oh, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Okay, that was annoying. But it hopefully made the point that if you have one line of thinking and constantly interrupt it with another line of thinking, it is a problem for your life or for my podcast. And you've probably heard the statistic that the average teen checks their phone over 100 times a day. Now, is that a healthy thing for your mind to be doing? Or could your brain be doing something more useful? If you consider that your brain is a very precious resource, it is your one possession that will make all your decisions in your life, and it will determine your success in life. So it seems like a major inconvenience to take up a lot of your brain's processing power and time with an addiction, to rudely interrupt any thinking process it has with the extra task on endless repeat of thinking about your addiction. It is so annoying. Nobody likes that. And I think it is really worth asking the question, how do addictions impact ability? So now let's go back to the physical dimensionality I mentioned earlier and our exploration potential. We can't truly explore the three dimensions and walk in air. We are already limited to just the surface of things. But now imagine if you had a disability, if it put you in a wheelchair or on crutches. Suddenly, that radically narrows the potential of exploration you have on the surface of the earth. It's a massive hindrance to you, and you have to consider it for everything you do, and you have to plan around it. It just holds you back when you try to go somewhere, And trust me, I've been stuck in a wheelchair and crutches for many months, and it gave me a lot more compassion and awe for anyone that has a permanent disability. But now think about the exploration potential of your thoughts. An addiction is like a disability for your mind. It gets in the way of everything. Imagine you're trying to get something done and someone keeps slowing you down. They're interrupting you. They're ripping you out of your progress. They're holding you back. And that's exactly what you're doing to yourself with an addiction. To quote the guy in my last episode, Matt Higgins, he said, "If you're trying to do something that is, by definition, a breakthrough or a breakout, something that's slightly beyond your reach to achieve, you need 110% of your ability, your energy, your everything." Now, if you have an addiction, you clearly don't have that. So if you want to be the best you can be, if you have a growth mindset, if you want to achieve hard things, it makes sense to work on your addictions and the potential of your brain. And you really need to start thinking that easy things are evil, because addictions develop as easy answers to a problem that we have. You know, perhaps a social situation is hard, so you have a beer. You don't know how to talk to your partner about something, you have a beer. It's 9 a.m. and you have a headache, have a beer. Like, easy answers, clearly not a solution for your life. Or a different example being like, "Oh, starting my work, but I don't know what to do next. Ooh, check email. Been writing my podcast episode, but it's getting a bit difficult. I'll just check email for a bit. In a meeting, but it's getting boring. I'll get some email done." It seems intuitive in the moment, and yet when you actually look at it long term, it's totally unhelpful. And our devices really do amplify this. You can develop a complete distraction ritual where you bounce from your email onto news, onto social media, and then stock prices, maybe look at cryptocurrencies and what the hell is dog with hat? Why is that up 2,500% this week? You know, looking at it, if I put one ETH into dog with hat when it was back at $0.02, it's now worth like $4, I'd have over $500,000. Crazy times. Anyway, after this hour of deep diving into random stuff I didn't need to do, I am finally ready to open up my work and get going. But, oof, head's a bit scrambled. It has been a whole hour. You know, it's a good time for a break and a cup of tea. And have a reset. Perfect. Finally, get to sit down after my break, ready to really start working now with a clear mind. I'm not too sure where to start. This mile-wide lake of fear has appeared. Crikey. You know, it's also been an hour since I last checked my emails, actually, so maybe I should just quickly check my email again, you know, just in case. And there I am, back on the distraction ritual of my email to news to social media, and then stock price, and so on and so forth. As I said at the start, the biggest thing standing in your way is yourself. I am delighted to recommend my sponsor, Cozy Earth, whose bedding and loungewear I genuinely love. It's made from high-quality viscose from bamboo, and it gets softer with every wash. It was voted as Oprah's favorite things several years in a row, and it's because their bed sheets are so damn incredible. Their collection also includes some divine loungewear for your home or travel. They have cute little tote bags to carry your gear anywhere, so whether you are exploring through a journey of personal growth or discovering new parts of the world, you can nestle up under starry skies with the softness of Cozy Earth's loungewear. So pack your bags, venture on and visit cozyearth.com today and use code GROWTH at checkout for an exclusive 35% off. And let Cozy Earth be your travel companion on the road to adventurous growth. cozyearth.com and use code GROWTH at checkout. In most cases, being a good boss means hiring talented people and then getting out of their way. LinkedIn Jobs is here to help small businesses hire quality candidates faster and for free. It isn't just a job board with over a billion users. No, you can find professionals that don't appear anywhere else. 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other hiring sites, and many of them might not even be actively searching for a role, yet could be open to a perfect opportunity. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours of posting their job. So hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. You can join 2.5 million other small businesses using LinkedIn to hire faster and for free by posting your job at linkedin.com/growth. That's linkedin.com/growth, G-R-O-W-T-H, to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. So it is, of course, worth talking about responsibility. Certainly a favorite topic of the podcast, which makes sense because this is the Growth Mindset podcast. Now, you probably remember that really annoying part of the episode where I had the weird issue with saying again and again and again thing. Yeah, how could you forget? I am sorry about that. Now, not only did I have to accept that I was the one doing it, yes, sorry, I also had to accept that I was the producer and editor of my writing and recording. Again, double sorry. Now, with an addiction, we need to recognize ourselves doing the bad thing, and we also need to recognize ourselves choosing to use our time to do the bad thing. And then we have to stop. That's it. And yes, it's hard, like really hard, perhaps like crossing a giant mile-wide lake that we don't know how to cross hard. But actually, this really boils down to fear and desire. The funny thing about addictions is that everybody knows lots of people who have had addictions. And at some point, they decided that they had enough. It stopped being worth it for them. They realized that the difficulty the addiction caused them was worse than the short-term relief it gave them. Whatever thing it presented itself as being easy as suddenly revealed itself to be a burden, and they were like, screw this, I'm not doing this addiction anymore, and they actually stopped. They had the conclusion that it was a bad decision to spend time doing the addiction, and they stopped doing it. They ceased listening to all the reasons that it was hard to stop, and they just did it. It was in their mind, and whatever your addiction is, it is in your mind. If you spend any time looking at human behavior, you'll notice that it is incredibly hard to get someone to do something that they don't want to do. Conversely, it's just as hard to try and stop them from doing things that they want to do. And so stopping an addiction is really a question of, do you want to stop the addiction or not? Because if you try to give something up, but you still actually want to do it, you don't succeed. If you start listing all your fears and difficulties and you start scrambling for something easier, you'll sink into the lake of fear and difficulty. And for some reason, you will find it too hard and fail. Instead, if you accrue enough evidence to truly convince yourself that the addiction is an absolutely awful idea, and I don't mean like intellectually convince yourself and be aware that it's stupid, I mean in your bones know that you just absolutely don't want to do it, that you hate it, that you are physically repulsed by it, then the lake of difficulty that you can't cross will just transform into a highway that you can walk across with ease. And honestly, if you can do that, you have totally got this and you will succeed. Now, addiction is a really big topic in psychology and it's fascinating. And this is a very short episode that could not possibly break into all of those things. The main reason why I've spoken about what I've spoken today is that I haven't really heard many of the things that I've spoken about. And I think they're actually really helpful because, as I've said, is that you have to convince yourself that you actually want it. And for me, I hadn't really heard about the concept of thinking of an addiction as a disability for my brain, but I really like my brain and I have a lot of nice ideas when I actually get around to using it. So realizing that my addictions are the things getting in the way of me doing the things I like to do suddenly has transformed my relationship with addiction to go to, oh my God, I'm repulsed by the amount of time I spend checking email. All I need to do this week is not open my email, apart from 10 minutes before dinner where I'm going to have to shut it 10 minutes later anyway, and I haven't checked email all week. Of course, there are plenty of addictions that, if you talk to yourself about it, will feel harder, but I know plenty of people who have decided to quit smoking and did it. Like when I was in Nepal mountain guiding, there were two guys, one of whom just decided in the middle of it to just completely quit. The other one was like, yeah, you know what, maybe I'll quit as well. And he hadn't convinced himself that he hated smoking. And the one who had convinced himself, every time one of the other guys offered him a cigarette, was like, ew, no, get away from me, I don't want a cigarette. The guy who was just like, oh yeah, it probably would be sensible to quit smoking, he didn't quit smoking because he wasn't actually ready psychologically to be grossed out by smoking. He was just like, oh, it would be sensible intellectually to not smoke. So I'm sure whatever addictions you have, you are aware of them and you know some intellectual reasons to stop them. And maybe the fact that you have a disability for your mind will be an extra angle that helps you find ways to be grossed out by the addiction that you have a problem with and actually start defeating it. Now, a quick note on the concept of internalized ableism. If you haven't heard of ableism, it's discrimination against people with physical or mental disabilities. It basically characterizes people as defined by their disability and that they are inferior to non-disabled people. Now, it's largely seen as bad because it is. Internalized ableism is a much more destructive fixed mindset thinking internally where you believe that you are bad. And that is, of course, damaging. It would be wrong to have listened to this episode and believe that you are permanently inferior or bad due to your addiction. We all have plenty of reasons to hate on ourselves, and you don't need any more from me, of course. However, it would be good to have listened to this episode and realized that you do have some inferiority compared with your own personal potential if you liberated yourself from your vices and brain drain that you exert on yourself with an addiction. Even better would be to realize your own power to change the situation and address those addictions. This, of course, was written mostly as self-discovery for my own self-inflicted limitations. And as I said, considering the concept that an addiction is a self-inflicted disability for your mind is an angle that I've genuinely never heard of as a concept before, but it intuitively made sense and helped me and hopefully helps you as well. For example, in a 3-hour flight without internet, I can complete multiple days worth of coding or writing compared to normal. Yet day to day, the gale force wind of browsing distraction and crap from the internet that I allow into my mind is completely optional. And of course, the battle to ignore the internet when I'm not on a plane is in my mind is completely a self-inflicted disability. Ultimately, addiction does screw your mind over from its capabilities. And I do feel like people who listen to the Growth Mindset podcast are people who do use their brain. And I feel like this is a good argument that could help persuade you as well. Modern life is full of new solutions to make things easier for you by adding new things in. And we really need to sometimes do the opposite. A lot of progress comes from less, not more. What can we take away rather than what else can we add in? So as we round up this episode, I'd really like you to ask yourself, what is one thing that you can limit or remove that would give you more freedom in life to complete the things that you are struggling to complete? Whenever you have the urge to do any of the things that you may be labeled as bad, just think that your only task is to just not do that bad thing and find something else to do or be comfortable with just being bored, because it genuinely isn't that bad a thing. I've quite enjoyed embracing boredom. Like if I'm watching TV and my girlfriend gets up to go to the toilet for 2 minutes, the first obvious thing to do is just to check your phone because you have a moment to fill. But actually, does it need to be filled? Can you just sit there and be peaceful? Because it's a massive life skill. If you can just be at peace for 2 minutes without scrambling for something else for your attention, like it's so much easier to then sit and do something difficult like writing or hard work. And if you have a problem and you need to think for 2 minutes, you don't go straight for your phone. You can actually sit there and just do nothing. And it is just 2 minutes as opposed to a procrastination 1 hour where you go off into all other places. Right. Now, before you go off on your own journey into all the other places and things you're going to do this week, I would very much appreciate if you send this episode to a friend who you think has a massive addiction problem and needs to sort that out already, because that is how the show grows. And that would be very caring of you to tell them just how bad their addiction is. And secondly, it would be very much appreciated if for some reason you felt overwhelmed with kindness and gratitude and felt like sharing that publicly with the world by leaving a review on your platform of choice. And of course, if you want to drop a comment anywhere or ask a question about psychology, addictions, mindsets, then I read all the comments, or you can email me at growthmindsetpodcast@gmail.com. And on that, life is super short. So don't waste it on an addiction and having your brain working on half capacity for your life. And also don't waste it beating yourself up or hiding happiness behind some arbitrary goals. Life is lived in the present moment, so that's where your happiness also needs to be. Be kind to yourself, and whilst you're at it, be kind to someone else too.